whether it's Ikeum or, you know, Hasima, Kim Staros, etc. So they're just very big topics. This one is no exception to that rule. Because again, you can always do a topic more locally, and there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. You'll definitely cover more ground. But obviously there's a geometric benefit to in these big topics to also locating them in their broader framework and also then applying them in that way. So what we've been trying to do, we've been discussing at Echonim and Bisurim, is to try to see the relationship to Shnayim Edim and to the various other Eid Echads, as well as, we haven't done it so much, but as well as to connect it to other Nemonios outside of Eidos, and to try to see, kind of the bigger picture of, the hierarchy or the range of, different types of Nemonios and Eidios, and how that can be tested in applying them, the factors that we've been discussing. What about Hakhasha, and what about Hazama, and what about Kivin Shigitshu and Chozer, Umagid, which we're going to discuss in a couple of minutes as one aspect of it, the Amasla question, what about Kenegedus Kazakisura, what about, Biyado, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why, it does take a little bit longer. There's not much we can do about that. So the last thing that we were discussing on Tuesday, I guess, because Wednesday we discussed a different topic. We were discussing Surya, but we were discussing the question of Ula, who occupies an important middle position in this whole debate, because you have clearly that the cases of Egla Rufa, Misa Sabal, Sota, are cases, that again partake a little bit of Eidus in the sense of Omakom Shemina Torah Nechana Rekim Shnayim, and at the same time are not Eidus because of the koach that Eid Echad has in these contexts. And therefore that was the last thing that we were discussing is in terms of the tashbates, in terms of the need for ksherim, or if it makes a difference for ksherim, ksherim for the first group, ksherim for the second, ksherim for the first one, ksherim for the second one, and again, the possibility of being mechalik between the cases themselves, especially, working a little bit on some of the objective difficulties in the Rambam, meaning I didn't create these problems, I wouldn't say the Rambam created them either. The Rambam was—he wasn't looking for trouble, but he was looking for truth. When you look for truth, sometimes it can have the equal impact of looking for trouble. So the Rambam obviously felt that he was fully aware, as we are, that it's always easier, to be clear cut, black and white about things. The Rambam clearly understood that, if Ula has a halacha that applies, in several contexts, that it's easier to say, that either we don't care about ksherim upsulim, or we do care about ksherim upsulim, and even if we care about ksherim upsulim, right, there are two questions to ask. What about the first guy, and what about the second guy? But the fact that he decided to, mix and match them, across different, we care about ksherim upsulim, but we care about it differently, in the different contexts, that obviously the Rambam felt that was, from an evidentiary point of view or from a conceptual point of view, which from, his perspective, meaning a legal point of view, end up being the same thing because they both reflect, his pursuit of truth, that the presentation is complicated. Even though, and again, just want to emphasize that for a second, even though in Hilchos Eidus, he does present them, kind of as one, or the only distinction, that he makes, that becomes like a very interesting thing. That's once you read Hilchos Rotzeach, carefully, Hilchos Sota, carefully, and Hilchos Geirushin, you know, carefully, and then you revisit, you know, Perek. That's the greatness of the Rambam, though, that, you know, that it's all one system and in one work, nice to say for, you know, the Nechazi. So then when you go back to the Rambam in Perekei, you know, and you see that he, you know, mostly presents, you know, the three as if they're one, you know, or, and that's what Yedidya was, you know, making reference to, or admits, you know, that maybe he's Mises HaBaal is different, but it sounds like he thinks Mises HaBaal is different, you know, because of it's Drabanan, but, you know, maybe we have to reassess that. It's not just that it's Drabanan, it's the fact that it's based on, you know, a different principle, maybe, you know, Daiko Mintzvah. And then, you know, if you're not convinced that the Rambam is not looking for the easy way out, and you need further evidence, you know, so then you just, you know, look what he wrote there, and then look what he wrote in the end of Hilchos Geirushin, even about Mises HaBaal, because there he's emphasizing Daiko Mintzvah, and the end of Hilchos Geirushin, it's, you know, Milsa Vidi Liguye, and it sounds pretty much like a Doraisa. So it's complicated in the Rambam, but again, it's all food for thought, and it's all explainable. We gave some of the, you know, issues we tried to explore in Reb Chaim, but, you know, everybody has to try to figure out these Rambams, and that, you know, also produces a lot of creativity and wisdom and insight and interesting formulations about what Ula is all about. And that's kind of what we've been doing. Anyways, Bikitsur, Ula is a critical, Ula doesn't appear in our Gemara, you know, of Eilachanem and Bisurim, and he doesn't appear, you know, in the Shaklavataria of that, you know, narrow sugya in Yavamos, you know, on Peches. Ula provides a counter, you know, balance, a counterpoint, a foil, if you will, to the regular din of Eidechonem and Bisurim, in a way that is absolutely indispensable. So the argument about whether or not, you know, there are differences between Ksherim and Psulim and which, within the worldview of the Rambam, and then the argument between the Nemukei Yosef, the Ritva and the Nemukei Yosef, on the one hand, and, you know, people quoted in the name of the Marik, the Shach, the others who claim that, you know, the Din of Ula would apply even to Eidechonem and Bisurim. You know, these become really important arguments. Good. So that's number one. And that's probably, I think, the last thing that we were discussing. So then I wanted to get back for a minute before we speak about Amasla a little bit, conclude with the Gemara in Psachim. In Psachim, you know, we encountered, and it's not only Psachim, it's Psachim, and it's, of course, it's the second parak of Ksuvis, and then Ksuvis Taf Ayin Gimel, where the Gemara seems to be discussing the problem of Nemanus Nida. So this, you know, is also part of the issue of the status, whether we're mechalik between Ksherim and Psulim, when it comes to Eidecha Neman B'Isurim, there with regard to B'dikas Chavetz. Tashlis of the Gemara is that, you know, Ketanim and Nashim are not, you know, Nemanim. And then the scrambling of the Rishonim to try to, you know, cover that, to integrate that, you know, with other Gemaras, or just Misvara, etc. So we talked about some of the Rishonim, and I just want to also mention a couple of other shitas there that are interesting. And again, I picked Psachim, you know, because, again, it's a striking Gemara, and we already looked at it because of the Raibid, which is, you know, a sensational Raibid. But again, you know, there are other shitas also around there. So we talked about the Tosa Shantz, who seems to be mechalek between Biyado and Eilechonem and Bisurim, meaning that, you know, he's assuming that Nashim, in other words, Psulim, would always work on the basis of Biyado, even if they don't work in Eilechonem and Bisurim, the Mokom She'enis Chazak Yisura, which is pure Eilechonem Bisurim. So as we noted, that, you know, number one, and that could be the Pshat and Tosas too. Tosas, if you look carefully in Pesachim, you know, their difficulty is not, you know, they never invoke Eid Echadam and Bisurim per se. They say, well, like, what's the problem here? There's Biado, so, you know, so do they say Biado because Lishitasam, or, you know, it's a Biado, it's Chazak Yisura, therefore you need Biado, but, you know, it's another way of saying, i.e., you know, the nemanus that works, you know, outside of Eidos, in this case it's going to be Biado, in other cases it would be, you know, there's an equation between Eid Echad, you know, Beli is Chazak Yisura and Biado, so who hadin or not? That's what's important about Tosa Shantz, is that it doesn't appear that there is that equation. So that may be very much, and maybe that's Pshat and Tosa Shantz too. That might be Lushitasa, where they are, you know, unhappy with Rashi and assume that, you know, just because Biado works, Keneged is Chazak Yisura, right, that is not a paradigm of Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim believes Chazak Yisura. Right. So this is what we've already discussed. In other words, that for Rashi, especially here in Gittin, you know, who's not self-conscious about making that connection, you know, Rashi Ki'ilu is saying, you know, Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim is the case of Biado La'achar is Chazak Yisura, because the Biado just neutralizes the Chazak Yisura. And, you know, you're back to Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim. And if you were to say that, then of course, whatever you say for one, you say for the other. This is not a special nemanus. It's the neutralization of the obstacle. And then you're back to Eid Echad. And that's fine. And then, of course, the assumption also is that Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim, l'halacha, is, or at least in this Shach Levitarya, is not Ne'eman Keneged Chazak Yisura, which is a simple pshat in our Gemara and also in Yavam, at least one day, in reading of the Gemara Yavama, so we're going to get back to that in just a minute. Whereas, since Tosas says that that's all wrong, and, you know, it's critical of Rashi, and it's like, what are you quoting Biado, you know, and how are you claiming, like, you know, he has two questions, like, what are you quoting Biado if you're talking about Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim, and how could you even speak about Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim in this case, since it's a Chazak Yisura? So the answer, of course, is, as we've discussed, is it's the same question, it's the same, you know, problem. Namely, Tosis is just assuming that the Hailechu Dekoi, the Hailechu Dekoi, and therefore you can't quote one when you're trying to prove, you know, the other. And not only is it not a good quote, but it's just totally wrong, because it's a case, you know, where from an Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim perspective, this totally doesn't work. So again, this is Lashitasam, that number one, Eid Echad B'Chazak Yisura is dead in the water. And two, that Biado is different. That didn't have to mean that where you have Eid Echad, you know, because Tosas does believe in... So again, if the makar for Tosas alternatively is V'safra La, and that isn't based on any special din, but it's, you know, also a universal din, so you could end up saying Ha'iluchud Ekai V'Ha'iluchud Ekai, but you would still agree that Psulim are Ne'eman Beid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim, because your paradigm is Nida for everything. Yeah. But for the Tosas Shantz, you know, if it's Dafka Biado that, you know, Nemanos, then the assumption would probably be that the Safra La, you know, is a special din, and that isn't the Makar of Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim, and therefore Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurim would be limited to Kesher. So there's a clear difference between, I think, Tosas Shantz and Tosas and Gittin, if not, it's not so clear that there's a difference with Tosas and Pesachim. Yeah.
And Tosas' institution also is pretty explicit that
the Tosas and Samech Hamid base?
Yes.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Because Tosas there is, we'll get to it in hopefully a few minutes, you know, that's a critical, you know, sugya. You know, to add it to the Sugyan Gittin, I think I told you to look at the Nun Dalet Amud Beis and Samech Hei Amud Beis, you know, because, again, in Gittin, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, you have Biado, right? In the case of Eid Echad, you know, who comes, you know, last, sorry, like you have Tahoros, right? That's the case. And the Eid Echad says, you know those what you thought were tahoros? They're tame, by the way. And then the Gemara in Gittin, we'll read it in a minute, says, you know, biado, you know, it used to be biado, that whole discussion. And in Kiddushin, you know, you have the same Gemara basically, but without the whole biado issue. And Tosis there, correct, is thinks it's all because of Hodos Baldin Kibedim Dami, basically. Right, so implicitly, I think you're right, that once again, it's not biado versus, you know, neutralizing his Chazak Yisura, but...
He explicitly there says that an Echonim Yisura doesn't apply
the Chumrah. Yeah,
right,
that's right.
Does.
Right, so again, he would just wouldn't have that. Right. So, yeah, but Rashi does, I think, in all places. And, okay, so anyway, so Tosas Shans and Tosas Psachim and Tosas Gittin, and you're right, Tosas also in Kiddushin, you know, these are different, you know, perspectives. I just wanted to add that the Meiri, well, let me go back to this for a second. On the side that we're dealing with, you know, something that is kind of either biyado, we also have noted that there is a difference, you know, that some Rishonim emphasize biyado, and some emphasize, you know, the fact that the person is made on their own maisa, right? In particular, that was the ha'ara of the Ravid, right? That, you know, if they were saying anach anu badak nuhu, you know, then, you know, there wouldn't be an issue. The problem is that the ketanim and the nashim, or the katan and the isha, are saying, you know, we, you know, witnessed or were present and are attesting to, you know, somebody else having done, you know, this particular bedika. So for the Ravid, even in a case of this Chazak Yisura, right, it turns out that Misha made al Maisa Atzmam is Ne'eman. Now, is that their interpretation of biyado? Like, you know, if biyado, then certainly al Maisa Atzmam. Is Maisa Atzmam better or worse than biyado? The answer is, depends on your point of view. If you're looking at it from the kind of like a migu perspective, like, you know, it's biyado lasos, and therefore we give this person greater, you know, credibility or credence or whatever, then it doesn't help you, you know, in this case. If the idea behind biyado, or separately, if there's a separate idea, and that is simply that, you know, what we're talking about narrowing, you know, the focus, and it's really just about, you know, when do you need objective kind of credibility, and you know, the notion that, you know, you're particularly, you know, expert, or you have a special status in this case because you're talking about yourself. And again, assuming there's no issue of no game, talking about yourself, you know, is much better and much worse at the same time. It's much worse, as we know, because you're a baldavar, and you're a nogeya badavar, and, well, whether you're, you know, financially a nogeya badavar depends on whether you have a financial stake in it all. But, you know, we talked a bit last year about it in particular, a non, you know, sochrim, etc. Sugin chesk the batim. But, you know, getting to the, you know, let's call it the Ravid, you know, this is actually a Ravid, so the Ravid, Rabbi Abad, Rimigash, you know, idea, which is, that, you know, that there's just a difference between an Eid and a Baldavar. And a Baldavar is Mufka Miedos. But the point is that it's Mufka Miedos, but, you know, on a certain level, in the Manus, you know, if that's what you need, you know, it might make you better. Because part of the charm of Eidos is its objectivity, its detachment. And by definition, that is Mufka whenever you're dealing with a Baldavar. But the idea that, you know, in the world of nemanus, you know, that somebody who has a special connection, you know, assuming there's no negius mamon, but the, like, he's a baldavar, even if he's not a nogeba, he's not a nogeba davar, but he is a baldavar, you know, from a nemanus point of view, you know, that may give you greater sway, and that could be the pshat in the Sofra law, and it could be the, so again, where you draw the line in that, is it, you know, biyado? Is it, you know, maisa atzmo? Is it, you know, you have to rely on me because I know I'm the only one who really knows, or I'm the only one who for sure knows? You know, and again, that's more like a desperation, or that's more a way of bailus, or is it I did it, you know, or is it that it's mutala lai, I'm supposed to do it, it's my domain. So I just reeled off about four, I don't remember, but four or five different, my point is that these are, there are nafgamina between these things. Not everything is only, you know, or most likely biyadi. That's different than mutala lai, and even in mutala lai, as we'll see in a moment, there can be differences. That's different than, you know, being made or being neman aniasisi. So these are interesting. It's interesting that in the world of nemanus, we do find these chilukim in this context. So again, the Raibid was emphasizing, did he do it? And of course, biyado in the Gemara, you know, is can he, you know, impact it? And in the Ramban and so on, we already saw discussions of, you know, if we don't rely on him, who are we going to rely on? Again, whether it's, you know, done in Efshar, Me'efshar, or it's more of a Shir and Bailus, hard to know. But on this level, this is what I wanted to add, the Me'iri says that even when you have Iskazaki Sura, you know, even if you did it, it doesn't matter. I mean, he explicitly rejects, you know, Shitas HaRaibit. With the exception of Nida, which he formulates, this is the Miriam Tachim, which he formulates, you have to look at him in other places, in two ways, right? One is that, you know, on a more pragmatic level, like, you know, the only person who would for sure know is her. You know, that's a yichus. Or is it more, you know, this is something which is, this is her domain. Not because practically she, although these might overlap, not because she's the one who would know more than anyone else, and in some cases she's the exclusive one who would know, but because this is her body, this is her business, you know, this is her status. So that, but he thinks that, you know, matters. That gives you nemanus, even b'mokom ischazak isura. But the fact that you did it, you did the action, like the Raibin is emphasizing. So it's interesting to see in these different options, like within the perspective of a kind of, you know, special nemanus baldavar, you know, which of these are accepted and which are not. I'm showing, just give me one more second. So along those lines, also interesting to note the position of the Tosis Rid in Psachim, and again, it's worth checking in the other places too. I just want to limit the scope of this for now. And that is that Tosis Rid's emphasis is, you know, Masha Mutal Olav or Olav. Like, you, there's a special nemanus for somebody, you know, who is given responsibility, you know, over this. But, and that is something that, again, he thinks is Nida. Well, a lot of them are trying to explain Nida, basically. You know, if Nida is a Schazaki Sura, you know, or if Nida needs a Xeris Akasu, I mean, again, or if typically, you know, Eidacha Naman, you know, is not going to include, you know, Psulim. So, you know, Nida emerges as a challenge. So what is it about Nida? Again, the majority view is that Echonem Misurim applies to Nida. Then you have to, what about the Ischazak Isura? And then their clan, we still have to get back to this. You also have these amazing formulations, like in our Tosis here, in Gittin, and the Ramban here, and of course in other places, including in Nida. And that is, like, what is, you know, what is it Ischazak Isura if, you know, if it's Yemei Libuna, you know, and she's Omedes Latvila? You know, because on one level, of course, she's a Nida Gemura, you know, she's Lagamri Tmeya with regard to, you know, Isurim and with regard to Tumah V'Tahara. You know, she's a Nida Gemura until she is Tavelas. Even though she's Re'uya and it's Biyada, you know, to change, you know, her status. And you could think about this, you know, in different ways, obviously. So, you know, what do we mean by Ischazak Isura? If by Ischazak Isura we mean, you know, the fact that, you know, the status requires changing, and until it changes, status quo ante, you know, is a reality, you know, then a lot of these chilukim, that the Rishonim are scrambling to make, whether it's Artosis or the Ramban or the Rajba, or as I say here and in Nida and in other places, are just, you know, inexplicable. They just don't make any sense. On the other hand, you know, if Ischazik Yisura has a different meaning, if it isn't just, you know, Mukzakus, you know, it's more, and it's not about Tumatara, it's about, other things, especially formalistic things, instead of just dancing around, I'll explain. In other words, what we already saw a little bit in the Ravid, you know, and which may also be the view of some other Rishonim, even though if it manifests differently, because what we saw in the Ravid in Psachim is the idea that Ischazik Yisura, yes, Ischazik Yisura, no, you know, is going to be a factor. It's not a factor in, you know, in Nemanus. It's a factor in whether you need Eidus or Nemanus, right? That's why the Ravid, you know, had that sensational Shita that says if you're, you know, Psulim, you know, then, you know, you're not going to work, you know, in the case of, you know, Ischazik Yisura. So, like, why not? What's the difference? And the answer is because that's going to determine, you know, whether or not Nemanus or Eidus, you know, is required. So, depending on what role Ischazik Yisura, we'll talk more about it. In other words, Ischazik Yisura, let's make it clear, like Ischazik Yisura or Cheskas Yisur or Cheskas Heter, so the other thing that we have to talk about, right, that are we mechalik between them, you know, Keneged Chazaka. Keneged chazaka of Heter or Yisur, both in terms of the chazaka part as well as the Eidachon part. Eidachon hamatir, Eidachon haoser. Now, do we care about that? So that's also, you know, a big issue, which we'll get back to. But Tosas here, in Gittin, and elsewhere, you know, the Ramban here, the Rajba and Yavamos, etc. You could look at this problem of Ischazik Yisur in two ways. One is it's another factor to overcome. And in that respect, you know, to look at it, you know, the way that we look at it in other contexts. For example, other nemonios, right? What about, you know, ruba neged chazaka? Like we say, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif, right? Although that's tricky too, as we discuss. But, you know, basically, that's a clash between the you know, the implications, we'll call it, of Rov, you know, and the implications of Chazaka. And what about, let's say, Sveika Drabanan Lekula? Right, so we say Sveika Drabanan Lekula, you know, let's say it's Keneged, does it matter if it's Keneged, is Chazik Yisura? Right, to change the status. So these are, like, you know, factors to overcome, or how much, you know, weight do you give the Mukzakus, you know, as a different, you know, solution, you know, to this problem. Or Svek Sveka. Or this is the famous, normally we say about Eidach, I should mention that, Sveka Drabanan, Ruba V'Chazaka Ruba Adif, but there are plenty of, there's plenty of talk about and plenty of exceptions. We say usually Sveka Drabanan Lekula, you know, does not work Keneged Ischazik Yisura, at least that's the definite conclusion of the Rajba. This is the famous Tshuvas HaRajba, which got so much press. You know, Simin Tuf Aleph, is that the one? That sound right? Simin Tuf Aleph? Am I getting any recognition? No? Asher? Sound right? No? He's saying, doesn't ring a bell. I think it's Simin Tuf Aleph. The one that was made famous by the, you know, by the, by all the Achronim. Especially earlier by the Pnei Yeshua. I mean, it's a Tshuvas HaRajba, so it's famous anyway. But, you know, it became particularly famous because of the, you know, Pnei Yehoshua. And then even more famous because of the Shev Shmeitz. Right? And then from there, it, like, you know, it was stratospheric. Because of the issue of you know, Svek Sveka B'mokom, you know, Ischazik, you know, Yisura, you know, what does it stand? Because the Rajba in that famous, I think it's Tuf Aleph, Chelek Aleph Tuf Aleph. The Rajba says that it's Logora you know, may rove. But that's how the Rajba sets up the question. That's the famous one, where the Rajba, you know, says, listen, Sveka Drabana Lakula, like it's very scientific, you know, halakhically scientific, you know, very organized. Sveka Drabana Lakula, says the Rajba, you know, Ramakmir. Ruba Bechazaka, you know, Ruba Adif, were Mekel. What about Svek Sveka, Keneged Ischazet Isura? Then he goes on, you know, to discuss the evidence, Trey Robi, and, you know, Sugis and Kedushin, all over the place, etc., etc. But the bigger line, the line that got everybody so excited was he says something like, is it up there? I see you're looking up there. Yeah. So what's the famous line? Something like, Logara, it's something, something, Yadvelogara Mirov. Right? Is it up there? That line isn't it? But the tshuva's up there, right? Yeah. Svek sveka de kaimel and de mutter nomar kein af memokal mitzvah de yisroma. Im tomar mutter ma nasa nafim de sveka de rabbanu nechad de schazik yisroz lino lechumra. Im tomar asur trotsli ha domir in per kamadik sivet kil svek sveka mi rov. De rovena mater bi yuchsin de svek sveka mater. And there we say ruba de... So this is how he said... It's just set up in like an amazingly clear way. And then he says, after Bimarech, right? Dorim Sheinu Yishozek, but then he has this famous line where he says that it's Logara, it's something, something, and Logara Mirov. So, which was taken by the... It'll jump out at you when you find it. But it was taken by the Pnei Yeshua to mean that Sveik Sveika, it's not our topic now, is a the Ischazik Yisura part, but not the Sveik Sveika. The Sveik Sveika is a rove. That's how, and then everybody jumped on that, and they said, Rajba says that Sveik Sveika is a rove, because, you know, it's like two Sapek HaShakels, so you have 50-50, so you have 75-25, or something like that, and therefore, you know, any question about Sveik Sveika, you should plug in, you know, to rove, because the Rajba says, V'lo gara mi rove. And would you find, you got it? I
mean, he doesn't say logara, he says ve'efshar da'alem hetere yose mi rov.
Then he says ve'efshar da'alem yose. That's the part that they forgot. Yeah, or that they don't quote someone. Or that they do, but they think, oh, like it's even a stronger rov than a rov. So the reason I'm not being critical, I'm just pointing out the fact. But so since that Pnei Yeshua and, you know, the Shev Shmaitza in particular... Okay, so the whole, like, everybody jumped in on that idea. So I don't think the Rajba means that. I mean, the Rajba, you know, we've talked about it, some of you have been here for a few years, you know, it comes up when you talk about Darmashe Shlom HaTirin, and it comes up when you talk, because again, Darmashe Shlom HaTirin is afilu be'elef lo batel. That's the Gemara in Beitza, right, on Dav Gimel Amud Beis, and in other places, but Darmashe Shlom HaTirin afilu be'elef lo batel, meaning, we don't apply the din of rov, you know, in Davar Sheishlo Matirin. Ah. So Davar Sheishlo Matirin trumps a rov. So the question is, what about a Svek Sveka B'Davar Sheishlo Matirin? Let's say you have a Svek Sveka B'Davar Sheishlo Matirin. And that very Gemara in Beitza, right on Dav Gimel on the base, you know, depending on the Girsa, that's like you get to the famous, these are the famous, you know, issues. In Tzachim, we must have discussed it, right? When did we discuss it? Probably not last year, because there would be no reason to, but it comes up every 2 or 3 years. Tzachim, for sure, right? That test. Or Chulin, for sure, right? In Chulin, because, when in Chulin, Eitan? Correct. Roman Tzui Neitzel Shchita, and the problem of? That there. Exactly. The parallels, that's the parallel problem, right? Efshel Levar or Tzorach Levar. So Efshel Levar, Tzorach Levarer, and Dav Sheish Lamatirin are not necessarily equal if you look at the Mefarshim, and like you do a chart, you'll see they don't always come out. But there are parallel questions, right? So so what about Svek Sveka of the Efshel Levar, Tzorach Levarer? So there are people who tell you, according to the Rajba, it's a rove, you know, or more. But they, you know, mostly don't zero in on the more. They think that the more is quantitative. I'll explain what I mean in just a second. Again, it's not, you know, so Efshel Dvar Tzorach Levar, Dovr Shnei Shlom Atirin, Kenegan Iskazak Yisura, you know, and there are other issues as well. So what's the issue? So again, this Rajba, because he says it's, you know, it's like a rover, all of me rove, so they all thought that that's what Svek Svek is. It's 50-50, 50-50, 75-25, and it's that kind of a rove, plug it in. It's a strong rove. However, if you look really at the Rajba in Beitza, you know, he thinks that Svek Svek applies even to Dabr Sheshul Matir. That's a Machalokas we've shown him. That's the Rajba. And also his famous, that's famously his view. It's the same almost language in Torah Abayis, right? So all the Yoredeya people all know this. That's the Rajba. And others, like the Ran, is Mistapek. And in Shulchan Aruch, there's, you know, Chiluke Deos. And, you know, in the Shach and Klale, Svek Sveka, you know, has, you know, massive, and then all the other people of Klale Svek Sveka have massive discussions about this. So the Rav used to say that Svek Sveka is not, you know, just a rove of 75-25. He used to say that, you know, even if a rove is a hachra, you know, there's good reason to think that a Svek Sveka is like a biru, or the absence of Leda Sasafek. You know, the idea being that, like, you know, it takes two steps to create this Iser, and therefore it's not just the numbers. You don't translate everything or reduce everything to probability. So really, really, if you look at the Rajba and the Tshuva, and then you connect it to the Torah Abayis and the Beitza and whatever, you know, he may also be saying that, you know, one way to look at it is that it's 50-50, 50-50, and therefore it's a strong rove. But, you know, I think, at least in light of that, this is me speaking now, that the Alima Yoser, you know, is more important. Meaning he's saying it's not less than a rove, it's more than a rove, because even if you forget about the numbers, it's the steps, it's the formality, as we've said many times. And then, anyways, what does all this have to do with us now? So, what I'm trying to say is, Svek Sveka Kenegad Iskazak Yisura, which is the Safek of the Rajba, you know, and the question of the other paradigms, you know, Ruba V'Chazaka, Ruba Adiv, Sveka Drabanan, Kenegad Iskazak Yisura. So, we'll expand it a little bit. And what about Migu? Kenegad Iskazak Yisura? Or Kenegad Iskazak? That's another way of saying Akiva. Whether Migu is Lahotzi or not. Maybe. Unless you think of Motzim Mechavar Levarai as a different kind of Kazaka, but which it may be, maybe more. That's a Kuntus Asfekos discussion, and you know, Rai is a Rishonim, but the Ksos's brother, you know, in his Kuntus Asfekos discusses that very extensively. You know, but that, so you have Migu, what about Pesha Asar, which is maybe Migu Diboy Shasik, or more, as we've discussed, Keneged, you know, Kazaka, or Tivi Motzi. Right? So meaning there's a whole literature about what happens when you have a clash between, you know, different forces, we'll call it in the, you know, in the broad world of Klale, you know, Hakra Safek. So Iskazak Yisura, you know, Keneged Chazaka, Keneged, Iskazak Yisura, Keneged other Chazakas, Keneged Rove, Keneged, you know, Svek Sveka, Keneged, you know, Migu, Keneged, you know, Pesha Asar. This is all a massive topic. So when you look at, you know, our Gemara here in Gittin, and the parallel in Yevamos, and the discussion in the Rishonim, what about Eid Echad, Keneged, Iskazak Yisura? You know, it's very easy to think, and for sure, according to many Mefarshim, you know, that's a way to locate this discussion and to have this discussion in a meaningful way. You know, just like you have these other forces, you know, when they're unopposed, you know, they have a certain sway, they're decisive. You know, when they meet opposition, you know, you have to weigh you know, the battle that is taking place between these different conflicting, you know, forces. So, you know, it could be Eid Echad Keneged Rov, it could be Eid Echad Keneged Migu, right? It could be Eid Echad Keneged Svek Sveka, you know, and it could be Eid Echad Keneged Chazaka. And this is a way to look at the whole, you know, issue. However, even in those other cases, also it's not so simple. Sometimes the role of the Chazaka, first of all, sometimes when you have what seem to be clashes, you know, there can be two, you know, problems, let's say. You know, one is that sometimes, and I've said many, many times, I think it's true, instead of looking at everything as, you know, in terms of power and force, you know, in what I sometimes call a clear, you know, hierarchy or a linear hierarchy, you know, and if you look at it that way, you give values to things. You say, like, you know, in the world of, you know, koach, hachra, or namanus, or whatever, you know, what number are you going to assign, you know, to a pesha asar, to a migu, to a rov, to this kind of rov, to that, aruba disa come on, aruba delesa come on, aruba, you know, disa and delesa come on, b'miut hamatsui, and shelo b'miut hamatsui, you know, things of that sort. And what about, you know, this kind of chazaka, chazaka de mikara, chazaka de hashta, a chazaka where we don't know that there's an exception or we don't have to relate to it. I mean, all these things can be given values, and partly, Eid Echad can also be given a value, right? You could say, you know, Eid Echad is Eidus, well, it's 10, but okay, it's not Kad Eidus, you know, so it's, you know, 10 with a question mark, or it's only a 9. You know, maybe it doesn't have the certitude part, but it has the absolute namanus part. Whatever, things that we've been discussing. Maybe it depends on what kind of Eid Echad. Again, Eid Echad be Sota be Misa Sabal be Glarufa or be Surin. Eid Echad Ayude Kosher or Ayude Pasa. So part of this whole discussion is Eid Echad Keneged, you know, a Chazaka. Assign a value to this, assign a value to that. However, the problem with that is that sometimes in war, as in life, you know, it isn't, as in sports, by the way, which is also war, right? Definitely not life. You know, it's, you know, you have teams, let's say, or you have armies, you know, and, you know, if you're just to, like, you know, to evaluate the inventory that they have, the weaponry and the personnel, you know, and even the, you know, other, let's say, factors, you know, whether it's, again, sports or armies or other ways of, you know, measuring things, you know, and then it comes out in a certain way. But, you know, the thing that makes life, you know, worthwhile is that sometimes we get surprises, not just surprises, but sometimes the dynamic, you know, this team is particularly vulnerable to that other team, even though objectively it's a worse or weaker team, you know, as reflected by its, you know, won and lost record, or even maybe, like, you know, by evaluating its strengths and its weaknesses. But because, you know, there's a certain vulnerability or strength, as the case may be, you know, in a particular matchup or in a particular, you know, facet of, you know, they are amazing, but they just, you know, don't have this defensive capacity, or that you can, they're vulnerable to a particular strategy or whatever. And that's true on the battlefield as well. Sometimes it's the terrain, sometimes it's the experience, sometimes, you know, it's the weaponry. Like this, you know, system is practically infallible, you know, except, you know, in this one thing that this other squad or army, you know, has, that, you know, that happens to be its character or whatever. So that is sometimes true, you know, in these you know, forces as well. Like you have, particularly this is the case in Ruba v'Chazaka, like we say Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adiv, but as in our Chulin days we've noted, right, Eitan? Sometimes, you know, the issue is, and we talked about this then when we talked about, you know, Chad al-Reyusa and Tart al-Reyusa and so on, right? You have, you know, the Mikvah, Shenimdan, V'Nimtza Chaser, you know, and you know, and then you have the chazaka of the gavra, you know, and then there's the chazaka of the chefza that the gavra touched. Everybody understands what I'm talking about, right? Meaning you have this guy, he was tovel b'mikvah, but, you know, we're now mistapek whether the mikvah was chaser, and therefore it wasn't the tefillah b'mikvah, actually, or not. And, you know, so there's his personal status, and then, of course, he was nogeya b'taros. So the question is, like, you know, in figuring out, like, are all these factors relevant? The chazaka of the mikvah, the chazaka of the gavra, the chazaka of the chafza, of the, the things that he touched? Or no, right? Once, meaning the real Leinus HaSafek, you know, is not about, you know, the status of the, what we care about, what we're interested in, let's say, the Din Torah is about the Taros, you know, and whether they're still Taros. But let's call it the Mechayiv or the Safek, the real Leinus HaSafek, you know, is about the Mikvah. And even in the mikvah, the question is what its status was at a particular time or day that you can pinpoint, or when did it change? Like, is it a what question or a when question? I know I'm making this complicated, but I'm just trying to give you examples of... sometimes you say, but ruba b'chazaka, ruba adi, you know, or there are two chazakos, so... The answer is no, sometimes there aren't. You have to figure out in the dynamic, like, what's the most relevant. You know, it's true that Ruba Chazaka Ruba Adi, but if you apply a certain Chazaka, then that rogue doesn't even get into play. So, you know, the army has, like, this amazing weaponry, you know, but, you know, in order for them to employ it and to utilize it, you know, they first have to, you know, climb that mountain. Or, you know, attain some other lesser, you know, technology, you know, but happens to be more accessible to them, and therefore it's all moot. So we can't count the powerful weaponry, you know, we can't assign that a value because it's all inaccessible, you know, unless you get to this other core thing. So same is true. When you talk about the relationship between, let's say, cheska, chazaka, keneged, you know, all these other things, peshasar, migu, sveksveka, rov, you know, eidachad, you know, etc., other nemonios, you know, on the one hand, you're thinking, you know, which is more powerful? You know, the more powerful eidachad is, you know, and the least powerful the chazaka that it opposes is, the more it's going to be successful. And if it's either less powerful or the other one is more than we anticipated, you know, then boom, then you're finished. But it doesn't always work that way. And we see this particularly in cases, I say, Ruba b'chazaka, Ruba adif. You know, first you have to determine that all the factors are in play and that the dynamic that triggers them or makes them relevant, right, is not, you know, compromised. That clear? Just as a matter of principle, at least. That's one. The second thing is that sometimes, and this is kind of very related, maybe it isn't a separate factor, it's just another manifestation of the same factor, and that is that sometimes you'll have a force or a factor, you know, and its significance is not, you know, what it brings to the operation, you know, something to overcome or something to facilitate, but rather its presence or its absence shifts the way that you look, you know, at the whole issue and the whole question. And that, I think, is what the Ravid, you know, is telling us. You know, I don't know if he was here, whether he would agree with all the military, you know, sports metaphors, but I think the question of, oh, you have this Chazak Yisura, you know, does Biyado neutralize this Chazak Yisura? That, you know, that argument, that's one example of it. And the Ravid's idea, which is, if it's this Chazak Yisura, you know, even if it's Biyado, you know, that's a different kind of Eidachad Neman, you know, then if there's no, like in both cases, Eidachad will win, you know, but maybe there are two different dinim, and you need, therefore, Edim Sheirim in one case and not. One case in Amon is the other place in Yedidus. That's a way of saying that the Ischazik Isura, you know, is a factor in determining whether this still remains Isurim or it doesn't turn into something that needs Edus. So, for example, what the, you know, probably the easiest way to explain it, and this might be at the heart of our Gemara too, you know, when the Gemara here and in Yavamos, you know, as all Rishonim are troubled, you know, seems either to superfluously require both Davar Sheba Erva and Ischazik Isura, right? Or to be equating them. I mean, there are three ways to read the Gemara. One is, you know, it's Davar Sheba Erva and it's Ischazik Isura. Either one alone would be enough. And, you know, you could just, you know, interchange them. We're just piling on. That's one way to look at it. Or we're saying somehow, you know, that, you know, they are the same thing. Maybe every Davar Sheba Erva, you know, again, and if they're the same thing, it's hard to know which one to emphasize. But we're saying it's, you know, Ischazik Isura, i.e., it's a Davar Sheba Erva, or Davar Sheba Erva, i.e., it's Ischazik Isura, you know. So we're not talking about two different reasons why you can't accomplish, you know, what you want to accomplish with the Nechadim and Bisurim. We're talking about an integrated idea. But, you know, what is that integrated idea, if there is an integrated idea? So one possibility is, going back to some of the things we said and some of the things that we still have to explore, there's a very fine line, you know, between Eidos, which, you know, kind of focuses on identifying something, you know, even if the consequences happen to be, you know, consequential for the ramifications for Dine Mominis, for Erva. But that's an interesting question. What determines the level of Eidos that you require? Is it the, you know, the nature, the character of the Eidos or the needed, you know, Nemanus or evidence? Right? Or is it the impact? So this is something that we've already encountered, you know, a lot. Right? When we talked about Davar Sheba Erva, especially with regard to what?
Writing the get. When they see this, they're writing the get.
Or correct. That's on one side of it. Right? Like, let's say the Ksivas HaGet. You also have it, you know, in Tosis's discussion of Lishma here on Beis HaMidbeis. You also have it in the Rambam and the Ravids, you know, discussion of Edei Kiyum, you know, Minui Shliach and Bitol Tanai, you know, and in quite a few other examples. Meaning, what there is, there, let's say it this way. Factually, there are arguments about, you know, which things require Edei Kiyum. Right? And factually, there are arguments about certain cases, whether they qualify as Isurim for Edepanem and Bisurim, you know, or even for Shnayim, that's the example you gave of the Mesivas, Shnayim Edim maybe, because it's, you know, it's more than, you know, maybe that's a compromise between, you know, the consequence, but still the different, you know, character of the Edos, like, you know, the Mesivas' idea of Edim on Dasim Iskayev and the Tzivui Abal. So what are those arguments about? Those arguments could be about the categories themselves, meaning do they depend on implications or character? Or they could be an argument about, you know, and maybe everybody would agree that certain adios, you know, even if they have hashlachot, they have consequences, you know, in erva and in mamon, etc. But if the nature of the adios, if the character of the adios is more in the area of Isurim, or identification, what we sometimes call the Sakara, that wouldn't be Davar Sheba Erva, that wouldn't be Davar Shel Mamon. So maybe, sometimes, that depends on, you know, some factors like Ischazik Isura. Like, when there's Ischazik Isura, maybe every Eidus that's going to neutralize or counter that, you know, is basically being made on a Maisa. Again, this isn't only my suggestion. I think a lot of people make the suggestion. Meaning, if I say if there's no, you know, previous, you know, chazaka. Let's say you have a safek chelev b'shuman and there's no chazaka. Right? Didn't come from this butcher shop or that butcher shop. We have no information. It's a neutral thing. So the edus of the edacha nam bisurin is to say, you know, it is, this is what it is. You know, it's establishing its chazaka. It's not overriding it. It's not saying anything changed from what we thought, and certainly not from what was. Right? Even if we're talking about like a chazaka, not a mukzakus, like what it was previously, we know at a certain point it was X, right? And in order for it to be mutter or to be aser, we need it to morph, you know, to transform into Y, right? So, you know, that's one kind of chazaka. We call that mukzakus. You know, then there is like, oh, like an like a rove kind of chazaka. We just use the phrase chazaka. Like an umdana, like a ruba delesa kaman. Chazaka, that this kind of thing, you know, is, you know, it came from the non-kosher butcher shop, so the rove is that, you know, that's probably, you know, where it was produced. You know, not that, you know, the kosher eating manager or the kosher eating you know, person, you know, is munching on his, you know, his shuman, you know, and then, you know, he was a taller guy, and, you know, somebody needed aid in the non-kosher butcher shop, you know, of course he should still give him the aid, you know, and, you know, when he was there, he put down his, you know, his shuman sandwich, you know, so that's different than, you know, this was a nevela, or it was an Eina Shchuta, and we're not sure if there was a Shchita, right? I mean, at some point, it was meaning. So if you're talking about the Ischazik, that also might be a factor. Both of these, like if you're talking about Ischazik Isura as just a force or a factor, like a Rove or an Umdana, or even a Mukzakus, but a Mukzakus because of what it gives you in that respect, so then you're dealing with, you know, forces and power, and, you know, you can still have the dynamic issue, but basically. But if you're talking about an Ischazik Isura of Mukzakus, like, oh, you weren't mafrish, until you're mafrish, you know, Trumas of Isur, it's Tebel. Until you do the Shechita, you know, it is, you know, Eber Melachai, or Eino Shachut, or whatever it is, right? So then what you might say is, you know, you need basically the Eidos is implicitly about the change, the transformation. So basically, it's Eidos about a Shechita Kshera. It's Eidos about a Maisa Hafroshas Trumos Umaisras. You know, whereas maybe the classic Eidach on them of Bisurim, you know, just allows you to say or to identify what it is or who he is. Right? So it's possible that the factor of the Ischazik Isura and the question of Eidachon the Ischazik Isura is really about whether or not this is Hagdara of Isurim or whether the Eidos is considered to be Eidos Isur as opposed to Eidos Mom. That would affect which Isurim or Cheskas Isur we're talking about. What about something which is Omeid Lehishtanos? What about, and so on. Yeah.
What about like something like Trefos, which is not up to any Maisa, but still has half there, let's say, a group made of any Trefos. So there, even though there's some sort of estase, the Eidos of the Eidach like, still wouldn't become...
Right, right. So you might make Chidukim like that. You're not gonna make.
So it would have, I mean, it wouldn't be able to be split up into broad categories and say anything that's estase.
What I'm basically saying, that might be the difference between like mukzakus and real mukzakus and a kind of ruba. Like trefa is usually a ruba de isar, ruba de lesa. Come on. We call it chazaka. That's like you say a chazaka, you know, let's say a mokom is b'cheska seino baduk. Let's say b'dikas chalas, right? Because it is, you know, until the b'dika took place, it's seino baduk. That's mukzakus. But if you say, oh, you know, the question is, you know, chazaka ala chaver, you know, shelo hiniach, dabar shenu matukan mitachas yado, even though we use the language of chazaka, that's really a rove. It's a ruba delay, so come on. So trefa is all trefa, you know, trefa is a tricky thing to that.
Right.
I'm saying, so if you really think that the Iskazak Yisura that we're talking about is because it's transformative, you know, because it basically is saying that something took place as opposed to this is what this thing is without speaking about an action, then you would make that claim. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Isn't this related to the Rambam Sanhedrin to Zanbog?
It could very well be, because again, there are, this is not the only factor. Meaning, once you say that there's a fine line, let me say this one. Likula Alma, you have to say that there's a fine line between, you know, what constitutes, you know, certain cases, like we know certain cases of Yisurim, Arvada, and we know certain cases of Mamon and Dover Shebe'erva, Arvada, right? And then there are cases that are on the border or a gray area, you know, etc. That seems clear. I mean, there are cases which are disputed. You know, whether they're disputed in the Gemara, disputed in the Rishonim, disputed in the Poskim, you know, again, we're running out of time. Ze b'ni b'chor, right? Do you need two edim or can you be neman, you know, when you say that? It has monetary consequences. That's not about a change. You know, there's no eschazik yisur or whatever. But it's identification of a status, right, which has monetary, you know, consequences. Let's say, ze achiv ishtemo de'inu, the sugya in Yavamos, right? This guy is the brother. We have a Yibum case, right? And you're saying he's the brother, right? Now, there are consequences in terms of davar shebe'erva, right, but we're just talking about identifying who the man is. But let's say, for example, and again, we'll talk about these quickly. Let's say Kiddushin, right? There was a wedding, you know, they were wearing COVID masks, you know, let's say, and it's hard to figure out who the chassan and the kalam. You know. So now somebody comes, I know, you know, can you say to define who the chassan and kalam? Now that affects davar shebe'erva, for sure for them, and even for krovim, right? Chavlak really, you know. On the other hand, so is that edus that, you know, that this chasen and this kala, is that another way of saying, you know, they did a maisa kiddushin, right? Or since we already know there was a maisa kiddushin, you're just like, you know, they're just putting captions, you know, on the masked, chasen and kala, you know, from the COVID restrictions, right? The Fauchian, you know, chasen and kala, right? So,
I mean, the Rambam also brings the...
What is that? So that's the Ran. That's a discussion of the Ran in Kiddushin. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, the Rambam in Sanhedrin brings the example of Zona also.
Right, so we'll talk about that still. You have to weigh a little bit. This is, you know, this is what I'm introducing, basically. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, you know, compared to the Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Biyah, which the Nosa Kalim point out. So, again, is it about the primary Kabbalah's Eidos, like how we perceive it, right? Or not? Let's say there's more than one context. Again, to take Eidach of the Misa Sabah. Right, which we've been discussing. So Idako the Misa Sabal is about, you know, her being Muteris Lishuk. But it isn't only about that. It's also about Yerusha. It has a Hilchos Nachlas, you know, aspect. And part of the debate, the big debate among the Poskim, you know, originally the Rishonim and then the Poskim, is even if you're, you know, even if you accept Eidach HaBemisa, we do accept, but based on the acceptance of Eidach HaBemisa Sabal, in terms of being Matir or Lishuk, you know, can you be Morid somebody, Lenachla, right, or not. So there are two ways to look at it. One is to say, like, oh, you know, there's a Hilchos Gerushin, you know, case file, there's a family court file, and there's a, you know, probate or whatever it's called, a Yerusha, you know, and maybe we have different standards. Maybe we will not use that. That's a little bit like this Rambam, like Huksak, you know, Chelev al Yedei Eid Echad, and originally that was just about kosher food, and a, you know, proactive, you know, going forward, don't eat it, right? Like a little neon sign, trafe, 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 you know, whatever. You know, then the guy ate it. Now the question is, in terms of onshim, you know, what are you going to do with that? But they're not all the same cases. Sometimes there's a gap in time. Sometimes it's that there are two consequences, and that gets us into, you know, either pogin and nemanos, or which is ikar. Are you gonna torpedo, you know, the surim side because of the mammon slash erva side, or are you going to expand? Are you going to say migu dechayli ahai? And we have these from Gemaras. It's you know, just they're fascinating extension. Migu dechayli ahai, chayli ahai. Like that's a view in the Gemara. Sometimes we say, you know, really the standard that you need in this area of halakha is, you know, is you're short of that. You know, but since we're accepting it, you know, with respect to this, we're going to apply it. It's in the system. We're going to apply it, you know, with regard to that. And sometimes we say either palginan dibure or palginan nemanus. Like, no, each standard, each category according to its own standard. And sometimes we say eidus habakum etzasa, you know, butla kula, which means, you know, that, you know, since we can't apply it across the board in all cases, you know, we're rejecting it from the system. And, you know, the poison, you know, the fact that it's, you know, that it's you know, unacceptable here makes it unacceptable even if it had been a standalone and it would have been acceptable there. So even just, I'm just giving you language, but it's not just language. These are really the issues. The problem is, the complexity is, that in applying, you know, these models, Migud Chayli, Eid Shabbatla, we'll call it Pogin and the Manus, you know, in applying them, you know, in Dine Eidus and in Dine Nemanus, you know, and, you know, across the board, in the Ula cases, etc., you know, there might be important distinctions. So if you look at that Rambam in Tukas on Hedon Perik Dazai, that's exactly what the issues are. You know, that's one kind of a question. And then you have to compare it to what he writes in Perik Aleph Tukas and Surabia, which the Nosa Kelim Alatar, you know, struggle with. Is it the difference between Balkis and Misa? Is it between Znus and Isurim? Well, we'll talk to that. That's one of the things I want to sum up on Sunday and Monday. These are some of the things. You know, that's one kind of example. I mentioned the example of Osral Abala Banu, you know, with regard to Azal. But it's a parallel question, right? When can somebody say, oh, you know, you know, you want me to pay the concept? Thank you. You want me to pay the consequences of a capital, you know, hazama offense? You know, I'm just a disruptor. I'm just a mischief maker. You know, I'm just a home wrecker. Right? Not a good thing. You know, but he's saying, I'm a home wrecker, so put me in, you know, in family jail. You know, but don't kill me. Right? But the content, you know, has dual significance. So can you say that? Now that isn't a question about applying it. That's a question about, you know, consequences in Azama, but it's a totally parallel question. Right, so we have this. In a bunch of situations. What I was trying to explain about the what factors tip something either from an ikar and a tafel, you know, or to a nepalginan or a batla or a migud chayli, and what factors even tip the definition of the character you know, of the Eidos itself as being, because it's a very, very fine, subtle line, that's really what I'm trying to say. Just like in, you know, I was alluding to before, in Chazakos, you could ask the question a different way. Like, how many Chazakos are there? But sometimes the dynamic is that first you have to answer this question, and then that makes the other factor, you know, either more relevant or totally irrelevant. Right? Similarly, you know, I could ask the question, do you have a husband or not? Is your husband deceased or is your husband alive? You know, that's one question. You know, and maybe, you know, for the census, you know, takers, you know, that has a certain very limited significance, right? Or you're, you know, you have a husband or you don't have a husband. You're married or not? Do you have to tax? You have to file your taxes, jointly or separately, right? Or, what I'm really, really caring about, obviously, is are you an Ashesish? Can you marry somebody else? Right? It's not about the census. The census is a Yisurin. You know, the can you marry somebody else? Eilocha davar shebe'erva, you know, gedolim bizu. What about Yerusha court? Right? Or we just want to know, you know, are you, you know, or we want to know what happened to him. We're interested in his status. It spills over into your status, meaning the Isha or the Banim. But, you know, even if there was no Isha or Banim, wouldn't we want to know what happened to him? That's why, for example, I'll give you another example, you know, that we just encountered very recently, right? Tosis in Ksuvas, which is also debatable. Which Tosis in Ksuvas in the second parak comes to mind? Anybody? In very recent, the last... Yeah? Eitan, you want to say? Or that's an auction kind of a thing. You're just... Yeah, good, good, good. That's the right topic. Right, Tosis makes the distinction, right, if you come, is something migu keneged, keneged edim? You come to court and you say about these guys that they were gazlan. Right? So Tosa says, you know, are they alive? If they're alive, right, so then we believe you. Because you're being made about them. This is very similar to the Hakash HaZama issue too, right? But if they're no longer alive and the issue has to do with the shtar, not the gavra, right, so then it becomes an issue of Migo v'makom Eidim because of Reish Lakish. But if you come to court and you say these people are murderers, they're gazlanim, they're mechalei Shabbos, and they're alive, right? So you know the primary Kabbalah say this is with regard to what, to what you're accusing them of. Are your motivation, the reason you're coming to court, is because you care about this din Torah where they're signed on as edim? That's a question. Do we care why you came to court? Do we care what the primary impact is? So Bali Tosis, not all Rishonim, but Bali Tosis make this distinction. Yanai HaMelech. Right? Everybody know about Yanai HaMelech? We talked about it. The Sugyan Kedushin Daf Samachay and whole discussion again, the Ksuvis. So they're talking about the shvuya status, of the mother. So what is that Eidos really about? And that determines, who can testify. Is it about, Yanai's mother? Well, she's no longer alive. It's about Yanai and his status, but that's a derivative. I mean, still you have to... So how does that get played out? Which standards, apply? Right? That's a major, or the Gemara, again, the parallel Gemara's in Ksuvas. Ba ubebita, You testify about a mother and it has impact on the daughter. What standards are going to apply? These are all, in one way or another, kind of palgin and amonis type questions. So when it comes to the difference between you know, and again, there are all sorts of different napkumina, as we've been discussing. You know, is it, you know, hazama rakasha, frankly? You know, is it nem on the gamri, or is it trey or trey? Those are different questions, but, you know, applying the standards of Isurim or the standards of Mamon or the standards of Erba in terms of Eidei Kiyum, Eidei Birur, or Eid Echad, there's a huge nafkamina. So that these are, what is it that tips something, you know, either in terms of the Kabbalah Eidos aspect of it or the Tochino Eidos aspect of it, when there is more than one way to characterize it, you know, how do you figure out when there are equally two good ways to characterize it? What, let's say it has a primary characterization, you know, but implications or ramifications, you know, beyond. How do you determine that? Is it the weight of them? Is it the is it just svara? What is that? Well, how do you figure it out? So here too, these are the issues. You come to court and you're testifying about lishma. Okay. You say, I was there, it's Lishma. Or is that Eidos on the Geirushin? Because it's Makin the Geirushin. Or the Bitalatnai, or the Minui Shlichos, or Kiyum Shtaros. Right? So this is part of the debate in this topic on two levels. Number one, you know, factors like Ischazik Yisura, could they go into it? It's Ischazik Yisura, so what you're, especially the Muksakas part, not necessarily. If it's Chazak Yisura is midin, like another counterforce, and you know you have Eid Echad is not Shnayim Eidim. Shnayim Eidim is always Nemar Negan Chazak, of course, because it's truth, it's Emes. Okay, but Eid Echad is not. So you have this, just like you have Migu Kenegat Chazak, and you have Rove, and you have whatever. So now you have Eid Echad Kenegat Chazak. Maybe you can have a stronger Eid Echad and a weaker Chazak. And then it could be Rove too, frankly. It shouldn't matter whether it's Ischazik, whether it's really what we sometimes call Chazaka, but we mean Ruba de Leisa Kama. But no, maybe there's a whole different idea. Maybe the real idea is that whenever you have this Chazak Yisur of Muksakos, so by definition, you may be interested in the identity of whatever, the object, whether it's kosher or not, the person. But at the end of the day, what implicitly you're saying is that some action took place to change that identity or that reality. And when you're being made not on a gavra, but on a maisa, then maybe always requires shnayim eidim. Right? So there could be numerous issues that tip something into the category of iser or mamon. You know, but that becomes like a whole question. And so we'll just go through them, you know, one by one, just very quickly. But I say identifying a chasen kal, identifying a yavam, identifying a bechor, you know, zeroing in on like a prat that impacts the klal, you know, but maybe it matters if there's more than one. You know, it's Lishma, he's a Bechor, maybe his being a Bechor, you know, matters for more than one thing. Maybe it's not only about money, maybe it's also about money. You know, in the time, you know, maybe if you were made about his status of Bechor, you know, before they switched, you know, with the Kohanim and the Leviyah, you know, maybe it would have a different status in terms of Eid Echad Nem Bitzur. Right, Asher, somebody must speak about that, no? Bar Avram? No? Maybe, I don't know. Like, who would? We have to figure that out. Who would speak about that? Oh, what? I was thinking the guy, who is the one who... maybe Klikanda, yeah. I wasn't thinking of Klikanda already, but who is the one with the, you know, back in the Kulin days, that saved for them? We never... What was it called, the name?
Vishava Cohen.
Yeah, maybe Vishava Cohen. Yeah, he would speak about this. Okay, because that's that kind of a question, right? Like, you know,
I was thinking that.
Yeah, David, yeah.
Is this perhaps how you explain the Gemara in Yerbamos? So it says, you know, it's the Surah, and then it's Shine, and then it compares to Vada Elut, so it sounds.
I think the Havamina, yes, 100%. We're going to go, we'll discuss that on, hopefully on Sunday as well. I'm going to have to stop in, but I absolutely. That's one of the things I accentuated when we I think Aram read it, right? Did you read it, Vamos? So yes, 100%. I do think that's
it's considered this, and you need to
what does that mean? Like what exactly?
Because it's saying it's a different status, won't work. Maybe
correct. Exactly. Right. Very good.
So are we just saying that it's chazak yisura, meaning once there's eidos on the ma'isa, the eid echad can't be effective at all? Or are you saying eidos on the ma'isa, then it's in the part of giving mamonos, and then it's not effective? Because let's say, like David was saying, if it was badei chilev, so now it's chazak yisura, but it's not a mamon question, it's just iser. So
I guess you still might be mechalek, I guess, between with chazak yisura for different things, but you are. But the point is, if you're being made on a ma'isa hafrasha, is what I'm trying to say. Let's say, or a ma'isa. So something again. If we're talking about the muksakas type, not the chazaka, which is really a little bit the ma'isa. Come on.
So then, is there a klal in Torah that any ma'isa, regardless of mamon or
maybe, meaning, see, what's tricky about this whole topic, and is reflected by the fact that we don't know if there is a makar, what the makar is, or whether you need a makar, meaning. One of the things that we spent a little time already on is showing that some Rishonim, and we're talking about big Rishonim here, Rashi in different places and Tosas and so on, right? There's, do you need a Mokar for Eidechon Emon Bisurim? It doesn't say anywhere Minayin or Minolon, Eidechon Emon Bisurim, in a bigger way, right? So the fact that, some people think you need a Limud, other people don't, and that surely figures into the question. How easy is it to extricate something, from being a Echonem and Bisurim and having these more accessible standards? So what you might say is, only things that you're kind of identifying. Not anything that you're testifying about a transformative action. A transformative action, even if it isn't Dindinim Amunis or Nefashos or Erva, maybe that's still something that requires Eidos, and not just the monks. That would be the point. Now, could you argue with that and say, no, not true? I mean, the more you think, the more you're comfortable with Eidechon Emon Bisurim, just Misvara, then maybe you wouldn't say that. But yes, I am. This view would definitely, be more like it has to have a very particular character.
It's
bringing you to well, it
is, but
Chalta
Chalev is
right. So that, but that's an issue more of. We'll discuss it a little bit. But again, when the Gemara ends up saying that, that's just a different thing anyway, because it's you need part of it is that he has to acknowledge his own guilt. So anyways, it isn't about the objective question whether you. But I guess the other way to say it, you did a ma'isa avera. It's about an avera, a ma'isa. Or no, they're just identifying what it is that you ate. That's part of the question. Okay, so we'll talk more about that. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but we'll talk a little bit more about those cases, those gray area cases. I still want to speak more about. I want to speak about a masla. A few other things that I gave you to look at, but mostly we're getting to within strike distance of finishing this topic at least. Okay. So again, Thursday, just to remind everybody, they're having this the Yom Yun, and we're going to participate in that. And then after that is over, we'll try to get